Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to this conference call organized by Apollo Hospitals Enterprise Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join this call hosted by Apollo Hospitals Enterprise Limited. On today's call, we will cover the strategic restructuring of the omni-channel pharmacy business and the digital health business via a composite scheme of arrangement, which was announced yesterday. The press release and presentation outlining the proposed scheme have been shared earlier, and these documents are available on the corporate website as well as the websites of the respective stock exchanges. We have with us on the call today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Sunita Reddy, Managing Director, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Mr. Madhivanan Balakrishnan, CEO of Apollo HealthCo Limited, Mr. Sanjeev Gupta, CFO of Apollo HealthCo Limited, Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the pharmacy business. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Sunita Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking time to join the call. I trust that you have received all of the documents which were shared yesterday. I am delighted to announce an important step that Apollo Hospitals is taking towards the strategic reorganization and value unlock of our omni-channel pharmacy and digital business. We have secured the unanimous approval of our board for the composite scheme, which will create a formidable omni-channel pharmacy distribution and digital health platform leader in India. With a current revenue of 16.3 thousand crores, which is $1.9 billion, with stated plans to achieve a revenue run rate of INR 25,000 crores FY27 with 7% EBITDA margins. AHEL shareholders will have direct shareholding in the combined entity, enabling full value discovery and eliminating any holdco discount in valuation. For every 100 shares of AHEL, AHEL shareholders will receive 195.2 shares of the new entity. Valuations of the transactions were conducted by KPMG and BDO, and fairness opinion was provided by Axis Capital. These independent valuers have arrived at the relative value of AHEL and KeyMed based on the income approach using discounted cash flow. AHEL will retain 15% stake in the new co to ensure an integrated, seamless and comprehensive healthcare offering across the patient lifecycle. AHEL will also have one nominee director on the board of the new co. Upon effectiveness of the scheme, including shareholder and regulatory approvals, the new entity will become Indian-owned and Indian-controlled company, IOCC, and proposes to effectively increase the stake to 100% in Apollo Pharmacies Limited, the front-end pharmacy business. The company will apply for listing on the stock exchanges. The listing is expected within 18 to 21 months from now. The details of regulatory approvals required along with expected timelines are provided on page 16 in the document. The transaction will result in the creation of the largest integrated omni-channel pharmacy and digital healthcare ecosystem in India. Upon becoming IOCC, the new company also proposes to consolidate the front-end pharmacy business by acquiring the remaining 74.5% stake in Apollo Medicals, AMPL, which owns 100% of APL. This will enable the new company to participate fully in the business economics of the retail pharmacies. As part of the scheme, AHEL and AHL have agreed on the terms of the business framework agreement, which will govern the significant and ongoing business, operational and brand relationship between them. The agreement provides the clarity of the core business areas of each company and flexibility for each of the companies to build on their respective areas of strength. The framework enables us to strengthen the collaboration and cooperation in areas of common interest, leveraging the synergies as a network and remaining focused on adding value at every step of the consumer healthcare journey. Overall, the scheme will create an exciting new consumer-facing retail entity with a very strong starting position of strength. Over 150 million lifetime consumers, 65 million annual customers, 6,626 physical format pharmacies serving 900,000 transactions every day, over 75,000 served pharmacies offering 360-degree coverage of digital healthcare needs with over 40 million subscribers and an early adopter and mover in artificial intelligence. AHEL will continue its focus on outstanding healthcare delivery, while the new entity will accelerate its efforts on deepening customer engagement and penetration with clear capital allocation outlays, growth plans, and management teams driving both. Together, we will redefine the way healthcare services are delivered to the last mile. Patient journeys are managed and healthcare of the highest quality is delivered at all touch points, rooted in the Apollo ethos of quality and trust. With that background, I turn the call over to all of you for questions. I have with me Krishnan, our group CFO, Madhivanan, the CEO of AHL, Sanjeev, the CFO of AHL, and Overready, the CFO of Apollo Pharmacies, with me to take all your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. The first question comes from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions, both on financials. If you could remind us again, what is the deal value at which the new co is being integrated? Secondly, the acquisition of Apollo Medical Private Limited, when you increase stake to 100%, what kind of an outlay will that require? That these are the two questions. Thanks.
Thanks, Vinay. So I think the valuation is not really pertinent as we speak today in this case, but I'll tell you the approach which is taken, because you have to remember that the market has to find the valuation, and the market value discovery will have to be different to the valuation taken for this approach, because it's primarily, if you look at it, it represents an update to the valuation analysis performed by the independent valuers last year, which is now trued up for FY25 financials, right? That's the basis of which they have taken it. They have not used any market approach, because there are no other comparables on market approach to be valuing it. So like last time, they have continued with the same DCF method for the valuation. And if you look at the relative valuations of AHL to Keimed stands the same at 2.2x. Even if you look at it, incidentally, last time also it was 2.2x. Now also it remains at 2.2x. So the valuation is really only to establish the percentage of AHL for the AHL shareholders, which you would have noticed now that has gone up, right? Earlier, the effective stake of AHL, 59.2, now it's coming to 59.6%. It's a marginal increase, because there is also this telehealth business, which is a 80 crore revenue business, which is going into the company. So that's the way that it has been approached. So the value discovery will obviously have to be at the hands of the investors, and I'm hoping that all of you will be able to play a role on that. Of course, you will. So I'm saying that said, you know, the swap ratio is, as you're aware, is a function of the number of shares outstanding in the new company. The stake being distributed to the shareholders, which you know that it is 42.1% now versus the 15% being held by AHEL. So that's how it's been done. And both KPMG and BDO have jointly performed this. You know, they have an approach towards the joint performance, and then there is a fairness opinion done by Axis Capital. That's the whole basis of this. And the second question on the AMPL.
Yeah, just in summary, so the 0.6, the 59.2 to 59.6 increase that we see in the AHEL plus shareholder, that is mainly because of telehealth and the time value, that the time has passed from last.
Primarily because of that. Of course, you know, there will be relative value adjustments, but they're all minor. Yeah.
Right. No, that's, and the second one on the, you know, how to think about the Apollo Medical.
So there has been an SPA there has been an SPA which has been entered into to purchase a 74.5% already, and this is based on the current contractual obligations that we are entered into, etc. So there is a pre-agreed range which we have agreed upon that will depend on the timeline for when this is completed, right? Because there is a 18 to 21 month time window that it is going to take, 12 to 21, 15 to 21, whatever. So the approximate value is 300 crores for that.
Okay, great. Thanks, team. I'll come back in this way.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just one question on the collaboration agreement between AHEL and the new company. If you can elaborate, what are the areas, you know, that each of these companies can operate and cannot operate? And what is the understanding, if you can give more color? And also the reason for Apollo Hospitals still holding 15% in the new company?
So, you know, the business framework agreement, while we don't have time to get into the details, I think we have to establish what are the basic tenets of the agreement. As you think of the basic tenets of the agreement, the core hospital services, healthcare services business will continue to remain with AHEL. AHEL will give us a digital, it will be a digital window in which we are able to communicate with our consumers. So healthcare services continues to remain in AHEL. AHEL will be our digital access to consumers. Second, there will be a funnel for Apollo in the sense that, you know, they already have, they have 40 million downloads, and the hope that, you know, many of their customers as pharmacy customers will come into the Apollo funnel. That is, you know, a second area where I think, you know, the synergies really play out. And in terms of
the stock, if you look at the stock exchange, which has already been, you know, we have given the principles.
Yeah, the fix.
The principles have already put into the stock exchange, and it's already been uploaded there. You can get the details of this, but as Ms. Sunita said, the principle is all about cooperation and collaboration and non-compete only in the areas of healthcare services predominantly for them and for us on the retail pharmacies. So that's the principle which has been captured of cooperation, collaboration on the virtual side of health of Apollo 247 and the non-compete on the healthcare services for them and a pharmacy for us.
Understood. So even like diagnostics and, you know, consulting or, you know, which is under AHLL, that would continue to be with Apollo. So the new company will not be.
Yeah.
Okay.
They will continue to refer consumers into the system.
Okay. Okay. And the hospital or the main entity would retain the Apollo brand, right? And the new company would be paying some royalty to the main, the hospital company?
Yes.
Okay. And can you share that detail? Is it possible? You know, what kind of
so
royalty
we will come
or
back to
payment around that?
allow us to come back to you on the same. You know, there is a annual royalty which is being discussed. You know, it could be in the range of 10 crores approximately to Apollo
but moving
hospitals.
Up over a period of time, yes.
But moving up over a period of time. That's the way that we are looking at that brand arrangement. But they will be an exclusive partner for us, and they will be referring all the patients. It will be an exclusive partner for us. They will be referring all the patients to us. All the doctors on the platform will be Apollo doctors or Apollo accredited doctors if it is outside of Apollo. So we have all that in the business framework. So it's all been done in a way that it is value accretive to both the businesses.
Okay. And then one last question on the front end. How is the financials looking at the front end? Is it making EBITDA? Is it EBITDA positive, PAT positive, if you could, you know, mention that?
Sanjeev or Madhi?
It's EBITDA positive.
So it is EBITDA positive.
At the entity level, it's yet to reach EBITDA positive.
Okay. So, okay. This is Sanjeev. This side. So front end business, your question is that is front end business, you know, EBITDA positive and PAT positive? Yes, they are EBITDA positive for FY25. And we continue to believe that, you know, they would be so, you know, as we move forward in the next couple of years. So they are EBITDA positive. Thank you.
And is it possible, is it a very small number? I mean, can you share the number?
Yeah.
Very small
number. Yeah, very small number.
It is a small number, yes.
But it will move forward. Going forward, it should accelerate.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. The next question comes from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Just first question on our revenue and profitability guidance for the new co company. You know, the revenue guidance implies around 24% plus of CAGR on top line. Historically, you know, have we achieved such kind of growth rate in any particular year, barring let's say FY22, because FY21 base was very small for everyone. And if not, then, you know, what makes us comfortable? What are the additional drivers? And secondly, the profitability improvement of from 3.5% to 7%. What are the drivers beyond the Apollo 24/7 loss of 440 crore going to zero or some positive number? I mean, what is the rest of the 600-700 crore would come from? That is the first question.
Madhi, could you take that, please?
Yes, ma'am. So, first and foremost, we did have a slightly more softer year in FY24, but the bounce for the overall business has come back in FY25, and we continue to grow. Like you asked, we are looking at a growth of around between 22-23% on a year-on-year basis. The first two quarters, Q4 and Q1 of this year, we have been able to beat that number reasonably well, and I believe that traction is on. Our growth is not going in the range of 40-50, so it will be much more, because profitability is going to be a parallel focus. Where will it come from? It primarily comes from the e-pharmacy business, wherein we have started touching around 165-170 crores on a month-on-month basis between the platform and some of the other supporting engines. Both the consult business and the diagnostic business, which we work very closely with the Apollo hospitals, is also showing an uptick. There are two more lines of business which we are adding. One is the insurance, which is in the early stages. That will also contribute to a growth, not just as a standalone line of business, but also as a feeder into our primary pharmacy and healthcare lines of businesses. And third, this year we see a reasonable amount of GMV also, more than GMV revenue, coming from our monetization initiatives. We have been working very closely with multiple pharmacy companies, FMCGs, various other testing engines. So that's an additional line of revenue that we have built in. So that was as far as GMV is concerned. Growth will continue. We are reasonably confident of 20-25% growth between both AHL as well as CMED once it comes in through. So that story is playing out well. As far as margin is concerned, today, while on an overall AHL basis, we are slightly positive, what is dragging us down is the digital business. We remain committed to achieving a break-even on the digital Apollo 24/7 platform by the end of this financial year. We are on course to it. That will come primarily, again, as I told you, from number one, GMV increase. Margins will proportionately go up. Our mix of PL and generics is also inching forward. There will be synergies which will happen when all these companies come together. It'll take a little bit of time to realize it, but we will get there. Businesses like insurance are reasonably high-margin businesses. We will need around two quarters for it to stabilize before it starts breaking even. We are comfortable that by the end of this financial year, we will break even. This number that we are speaking about, 24,000-25,000 crores with a 7% EBITDA at this point of time, is very, very reasonable.
Sure. Thank you for that. Second one on the, if I look at the new company balance sheet which you have provided, it seems that it will be a debt of 1,900 crore plus. This debt is owed to whom? If you can clarify that.
K.K., please.
Working capital in all the companies.
This is owed to.
It's the working capital currently availed by all the trading companies, that is AHL and KEIMED.
This is to all the debt are to third parties, therefore to the banks and institutions. To your question, to owed to whom is the question?
Sure. Yeah. That is the question.
Yeah. These are all to banks and financial institutions, Axis, HDFC Bank, etc.
Nothing to the AHL?
No.
No.
No, no.
Primarily working capital, as I said.
Sure. Sure. I have more questions. I'll join back the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. The first question I have was on the hospital business.
Can't hear you. Please increase your volume.
Hello. Is it audible now?
Yeah.
So first question is on the hospital business. Does the business strategy change with the demerger coming in? Should we expect faster addition of beds or any change in execution plan?
Yes. I think we are, as you know, we are adding 4,000 beds. We are on track to add four hospitals at the end of this year. So there is just a fast track in the hospital space in terms of adding new beds and improving asset utilization in the existing.
No. Should we expect any change in the announced plan? What my question was.
No. No change.
Okay. The second question I have was on the private label initiative. What kind of initiatives we have taken so far to increase the private label contribution? And going forward, what initiatives we are going to take in the pharmacy?
Madhi, please take that.
Yes, ma'am. So going forward this year, there is a comprehensive new team which has been put in place, which is going to relook at our entire portfolio of private label brands and actually bring in a lot more strength to the portfolio. As we speak, the offline pharmacy world does a reasonable range in the range of around 17%-18% of the total business comes from the existing portfolio. The digital line of the business was as low as around 3.5%-4%. Over the last two quarters, we are seeing a steady increase. So the initiative that is looked at is there are a lot of new products which we are bringing to the table, which will be under the various Apollo Expert brands and various others. And the team which we are building up, there is a specific CEO who has been brought in who will be focusing on the entire private label business. And there are certain very clear-cut journeys that are getting created both in our offline business as well as in the online business, which will take this number from a 5% to around 7%-9% is what we are exploring in this financial year. And once we get a good traction, we move on. These are products which are either on the nutritional sides, equipment such as your glucometers, first aid kits, etc. So there are a lot of these products that are under some mega revamp. You will start seeing the effects of it as we go along. So private label will be a big chunk, and digital business will be one of the primary drivers because we are at a very low base, whereas the offline business will continue to grow at a gradual pace.
So have you started doing tie-ups with the manufacturing companies to provide these products, or that is yet to come?
We already have a very strong supply chain in place. So it's not that it's a new business that we are getting in. is just a revamp of the portfolio, enhancement of the products, packaging, focus on certain segments in a much more focused manner. So there is a very strong supply chain which we have built over a period of time. And Apollo Pharmacy Limited, and Obul sir, you can please feel free to contribute, has already a good pipeline in place.
And will it remain to FMCG Nutra kind of a product mix, or will it also expand it to pharma prescription?
Pharma along with PL, we are working on generics, and our focus is on branded generics. Our philosophy has always been to work with some of the primary pharmacy partners that we have. I don't think we have any intention to create generics on our own, that is manufactured ourselves. So we work very closely with some of the larger players on the branded generics in a very strong way. That itself is a reasonably strong play. So if your question is, are we going to build our own? At this point of time, no, it's primarily driven by branded generics. Obul sir, if there is any other clarification, please.
Yeah, nothing else. I know we are now focusing more in the immediate future on the new year's nutrition product, which you will see soon in the cell.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. First, on the hospital business that will remain with APHS, from a capital allocation perspective, would it be fair to assume that this entity would now focus largely on the hospital business and there would not be any new other areas that we'd be focusing on, like diagnostics, etc., you know, from the perspective of additional capital allocation? And what happens to AHLL that we have in the listed entity?
So, Neha, that's a good question. As you know, AHEL is committed to growing all parts of healthcare. So we will continue to focus on hospitals, growth in hospitals, without losing focus on primary healthcare, which is what AHLL is focused on. And diagnostics plays a huge role in that. So we are committed to growing the diagnostics portfolio of AHL. AHLL.
So AHLL continues to be a part. There's no this one plan to separate AHLL or set it out.
No plan to separate it.
Okay. And my second question is on the timing. Any reason for doing this now versus, let's say, you know, because the Kymed integration was supposed to, take place. We're turning around 24/7. So any reason for doing this restructuring now versus, let's say, next year once HealthCo would have become a complete entity with Kymed and we would have seen break-even in 24/7?
So I think the composite scheme that we've announced has several benefits because you will not have to go for multiple permissions for at each step. So this is, I think in terms of speed and achieving what we want to do this in a very transparent way and integrating the different steps, this is the best thing to do. And as you know, shareholders have always asked us what is the way forward with the value discovery for each of our stakeholders. So we were keen to really bring this, bring the scheme forward. The third, of course, is that we had availed of all of the investment from Advent, and therefore we have the responsibility of creating the scheme that will benefit all of the stakeholders.
So, and one important thing you should remember is if we had done it in a staged manner, it would have obviously pushed out that eventual listing, and by this we accelerate this listing, which is one of the, as Ms. Sunita said, was the key ask of the shareholders, because every shareholder that we have met wanted a value unlock, because it's not getting otherwise properly reflected either.
Yeah, I think if you look at the sum of the parts valuation, it was not getting the appropriate valuation, and finally to be complete, to have a company which is IOCC, which is what AHL will become, I think is very important from a governance point of view.
Yeah, fair enough, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. Two quick ones. I'm just looking at your financial outlook pro forma, slide 14, right? So has it changed versus the reorg that we announced last time around? Because maybe I missed it. correct me, run rate target it says. So this 24% CAGR, I don't think is correct, right? Because you are only on a quarter or a monthly basis attempting to reach the 28,000 crore or the 25,000 crores. Has there been a change versus the full year number that we were aspiring to earlier? Sorry.
Yeah, I'll just come back and then, Madhi can continue. So you are right in that, earlier we had given the full year guidance of 25,000+ crores, but we had said 7 to 8% also. We wanted to be more appropriate, more correct at this point in time. So the 7% is basis the FY27 exit run rate that we have as a target, which is because, the quarter, we did estimate that at least one quarter push would happen on the losses, which is why we are saying four quarters we will take to get the losses to break even. Madhi, you can take it from here.
No, okay. I think you are right. While we are getting the GMV, because like I said, we are looking at a very calibrated growth. We are not going after growth for growth's sake. So compared to the full year, we have kept that by the last quarter, we should get into a run rate of 25,000 crores. We don't have this problem in Keymed and the other entities. It's just that the digital one should catch us up, we should be on a better trajectory. So you're right.
Understood. Thank you. And just the second question is on the incentive from Advent. So if you could kind of give us some more details around this and why has this precipitated?
So in terms of, what Advent is giving, it is clearly when they reach their targeted return, they would like to share the upside with the executive chairperson and the management that currently, is with, when I say management, it's all parts of the company that are coming together, the pharmacy, the digital, with all of them. It is sharing of all of the upside. Illustratively, at 2.5x, the upside translates to 0.06% of the market cap, and at 4.5x, it translates to 0.8 of the market cap.
Thank you. But whose market cap? You're talking Apollo Hospitals here?
Yes, AHL. Only in the new co.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abdul Kader Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with regards to, the management and the board of this new entity. So any color you'd like to provide as to how the board would look like and in terms of the management, who's going to manage this business?
So in terms of the, who's going to manage, I think we already have a very capable professional team in which Ms. Shobhna Kamdeni is the executive chairman. And you have interacted with Madhi, Sanjeev. They do have other people who are part of the team and Obul Reddy. So there is already currently a very strong professional team. In terms of the board composition does include, we do have three independent directors at this time. There will be a director, there is already a director from Apollo Hospitals, AHEL, on the board, and four family members. So it is a very independent board.
Understood, ma'am. And ma'am, my second question is with regards to the residual entity. I'm talking about the healthcare hospitals and AHL. So what would be the capital employed, post this demerger, and what would be the ROC of the residual business look like?
Well, Polo, you say?
AHL, what is residual?
The hospital.
Hospitals, the ROC is provided as part of the earnings presentation. We have the 26% ROC that is there, so there is no capital outflow which is coming to us because of this. Yeah, we have a 15% stake, as you know, in AHL, which will, at some point in time be useful for us. But otherwise, there is no change
to the
overall.
That's an opportunity for additional value creation.
Otherwise, there is no capital outlay change, and the ROC of the current business of AHCL or healthcare services is as per what is already provided in your earnings presentation.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant. The next question comes from the line of Siddharth Negandhi from CWC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. Basis Advent investment in the NewCo, which is effectively coming into the AHL, right? The valuation of AHL translates to 17,979 crores on pre-money and 20,454 crores on post-money. Is that a fair one? Is that the right understanding? That's one. The second question is on the Apollo Pharmacy acquisition stake of 74.5%. Who are the current shareholders and what's the cash outgo that the NewCo will have to make for that stake?
So your first question, yes, your understanding was right. That was actually, that was the valuation at that point in time at which Advent had come in. That was a year back. And of course, you know, what we have been, by the time we will be listed, it will be at least a year later or 18 to 21 months later. And, you know, and we will be an IOCC company by then. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to also merge the consumer business and ideally should be listed as a consumer company. So your understanding on Advent's valuation is right. Second point, we have answered that the 75.5% is all, you know, Indian investors of, which has been also given at the long time back when they came in, like Mr. Vallabh Bansali, him, etc. You know, it was listed at that time. And, you know, it is a 75% holding, which will be, as we said, a 300 crore, you know, valuation at which we will be exiting there.
Okay. My second question was on understanding the capital employed. Basically, we were funding the online telehealth, whatever, that business, which is currently incurring a loss of about 485 crores. So I'm assuming that's the additional cash or EBIT, if I take the EBITDA, 442 crores, right? That's the additional cash that the hospital's business should then have at its disposal. And to that extent, we can assume cash available for the expansion that's planned. Is that fair to understand?
So the 442 crores were not being funded by us because once Advent came in, that funding was from the Advent pool of capital which had come in. We had stopped, and if, as you know, AHL is now, you know, from offline and the online put together, there is an EBITDA break-even and there is an EBITDA positive, which meant that the online was actually getting funded by the offline profits, which is what, you know, one, you know, over the next four quarters, as Madhi committed, the 442 crores will also become as close to zero. In fact, the one is a non-cash, there is a non-cash ESOP charge as well in that 442 that you're seeing. If you see the last quarter, I think, Sanjeev, it was a 80 crore cash loss. Am I correct?
That's right, sir.
So 80 crores was the cash loss of Apollo 247 last quarter, and this should gradually keep coming down to go to zero in the next four quarters. That's the commitment. So we don't have any perspective, but yeah, your point is well taken, that all the cash surpluses which are now going to be generated by the hospital's business, which is over 1,200 crores after routine capex, after dividend, etc., will all be used towards growth of hospital's business.
Thank you. That's useful.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Avnish Aberman from Vicaria Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one on Kymed. I wanted to know whether Kymed is involved in the trade generic distribution also. And if no, do you have plans for that? And if yes, can you just talk about a little bit about whether, in terms of margins, the trade generic distribution is a higher or a lower margin than the traditional branded generic distribution?
Yeah. Madhi, please take that question.
Yes, ma'am. I don't think Kymed has got a very large trade generic business, but as we move along, as we become an integrated entity, there will be a specific initiative to drive that segment forward. But like I told you, we started with branded generics and then look at some of the other aspects. But it's not a big part of their business between both private labels and this. They will try to drive that. Obul sir, please feel free to add if there is any other idea.
That's right, Madhi.
And in terms of profitability, is this channel, the trade generic channel, a better margin business or a lower margin?
That goes without saying. But while there is a margin, structure will look better. The amount of discount that plays, if you have to look at some of the competitive companies which are focusing on trade generics in a big way, the challenges are of a very different nature. Ticket sizes are much lower. Margin structure is better. Discounts are much higher. So even when we are walking into that business, we are being very selective about it to reduce cannibalization because we want to keep the focus very, very clear. So there would be the standalone pharmaceuticals, branded generics, and then if at all we decide to walk in, it will be trade. Here again, there is a very clear-cut, geographical segmentation. We realize that generics play a very big role in the smaller towns, especially in the northern part of the country. In the areas where we are very strong, we believe there is enough play in the branded generics. So between Keymed, Apollo Pharmacy and digital, we should be able to maximize this value. If this number at a cumulative level even goes beyond by another 3 to 4% plus, some of the drives that we are doing should start giving us good margin results.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Just wanted to understand, if I were to look at your slide 12, say in FY27, how should it look like, especially in terms of margins? Because if you're guiding for 7% EBITDA margin on the new co, what are you estimating in terms of margins for Keymed and AHL in FY27?
Mm-hmm. So we had provided this earlier. If you look at offline, we had said, and Sanjeev, you can also chip in, we had said in offline that the 7.6% would move up because of operating leverage as well as scale. This is something that we would like to take to 8 to 8.5%. And the online business would become neutral or break even by four quarters and move into positive trajectory. The Keymed business from the 3.2%, the target is to get this to 3.7 to 4%. Am I correct, Sanjeev?
That's right, sir. More or less numbers are there.
Yeah.
And I think another important point is that, the two things, that we have still not counted, one is the entire private label push, which Marie just talked about, that, how private label across the system, will play better, given the fact that now we have a vertical, which is looking into this entire initiative, standalone vertical, which is looking into this across the organization. And second is that the integration benefits, the operational efficiencies or the supply chain advantages that we get across the system is still to be, bunged in into the numbers. So we believe that, the guidance that we have given it, which is the exit of 25,000 crores, Q4 FY27 with 7% EBITDA, we should be reaching to that milestone. These two are the additional levers that have to play beyond the usual stuff that, we just talked about.
Just to follow up on that, assuming AHL grows faster than Keymed, and say Keymed margins, like you said, is in the range of 3.7 to 4%. In FY27, AHL should be in the range of around 10% to, or 8 to 9% at least to, have an average margin of 7%.
Can I step in, Sanjeev? So at this point of time, for the new co, if you look at row number 3, is what we are primarily focused on. If once we are able to get into our unit economics positive on the pharmacy side, and eliminate all the costs that we are incurring on the diagnostic and the consult side, and the incremental margin comes through our insurance business, that itself should bring us back to around 7.1 to 7.5. So various other integration benefits, etc., should accrue. But at this point of time, our primary focus is to remove that 478 crore, try to neutralize that 478 crore number, and post which maybe we'll press our acceleration to go beyond the 25 to 30% growth that we are looking at. So I would still be very conservative and focus on these numbers at this point of time, please.
So, you know, arithmetically what you're saying, to your point, just remember that Keymed is the full number that we are giving. When you do a new co, that 12,000 crores will be 6,000 crores with the EBITDA remaining the same. So Keymed, while we are saying 3.7 to 4, when it gets consolidated, I hope you understand that that top line gets knocked off when we give the overall 25,000 crores. So Keymed, in reality, if you look at the EBITDA, it will be a
7%.
Yeah, 7% EBITDA business.
Yes.
Understood. Yeah. And my second question was...
Guna, I would request you to please join the queue.
Alright, sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Want to understand, for NewCo, where will be your capital allocation mostly focused on? For example, for the traditional healthcare business, you said there is no change in your earlier announced plan. But for the NewCo, with all things coming together, how do you see allocation on the capital front?
Yeah, offline being profitable, we don't see any capital requirement. It is for the online if they decide to expand their product portfolio, which depends upon that post they achieve the break-even. Till then, we don't see any capital requirement in the new AHL, even in the new code that result out of the scheme.
Okay, and so does for...
It's in fact capital accretive on the offline side.
Okay, but when we are earlier talking about the spend which is going for 24/7, etc., that continues, right?
It will continue now, but no expectation is to reach to break-even level in the next 4 quarters. It means it doesn't require cash burn.
Okay. And my second question is the AHLL...
That will be achieved before we move into... that will be achieved even before we move into the new company.
Okay. So actually, I had another question. The AHLL, the retail business, which will be remaining with your hospital business. For that, how do you treat the diagnostics business, which is traditionally in your offline labs, and then what is there in the 20, what is coming through the 24/7 platform?
So 24/7 platform is the channel partner for that. So what happens is the consumer books the as it currently is. The consumer can either come to the labs directly and give their samples and then the test reports goes back and that revenue is fully derived and captured at AHLL. Then there is the online part of it which comes through 247 and there is a sharing of revenue as you know which Sanjeev has said in the past also, which is approximately in the range of 15%, which is shared with Apollo 247. That principle continues of sharing. This is the point that we have said that all the collaborations and cooperations between Apollo 247 and the hospitals division and AHLL will continue. So that's how we will continue to ensure that there is a value which is there. The core value is still at the hospitals business and the delivery partner, and there is a channel partner value which goes to the to Apollo 247.
So, effectively, there is no change in the arrangement, right? Whatever is existing right now, that will continue even after this new co coming into
the picture. That is correct.
And that holds true for your virtual consultation as well, right? The way it's getting treated right now is a similar similar way to... Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So just on your guidance of new company GMV of 28,000 crore, out of that, how much one should sort of think of for this online health GMV, which currently stands at 3,000 crores? 3,077
crores. Yeah, so... can I give you an answer? This is Sanjay this side. So your question on the online GMV of 3,000 crore, this was also, we discussed in the last earnings call, we are looking at anything between 25 to 30% year-on-year growth. So that would mean that 2 years forward, we are looking at anywhere in the range of about 4,500 to 5,000 crore per GMV.
And secondly, just the way this Keimed sales gets knocked off because of the consolidation. So this 28,000 or 25,000 crore is sort of there. Is that a knock-off and then still that guidance or without knock-off that is a guidance?
This is net of the elimination. So whatever Keimed sells to Apollo Group, that is being knocked out.
And still we'll be able to achieve that revenue of 25,000 crore.
So I think, we discussed this during the call. We strongly believe that there are growth levers across the company as well as the new initiatives that the management is working on. And we should be able to hit that number as we come closer to Q4 of FY27.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vincent Sethiawan from Principal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Wasn't expecting it. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, can you hear me? Good.
Yes, you're very clear.
So I'd just like to ask, of the EBITDA in FY27 envision, how much will come from, insurance, private label, and also the app monetization?
Yes, ma'am. So the insurance business for this immediate financial year of FY26, we expect to break even or maybe a small loss, because that is here we are building the capacity, whether it be the technology, which is, in a way, we look at people like Policy Bazaar, Insurance Deco as a competition. We are a corporate agent. So building these various data assets, journeys is going to take a little bit of a time. Our targets for this year are very, very reasonable. So do not expect any bottom line contribution from insurance for FY26. The next year, this is a reasonably good margin business once we get into some sort of a momentum. The next year, we expect the numbers to maybe grow at a much faster pace than we will do this year. This year, we're looking at around 70 odd crores. Maybe we'll plan to double it. Plus, that will be an annuity book which will get created. So I expect then the insurance business to start contributing. I'll not put a percentage number to it. We'll work that number out once we have the plans in place. But it will be more margin accretive. And Sanjeev told you that the numbers are going to go up from the average of 3,600 crores to around 3,000 crores to around 4,500 to 5,000 crores. Insurance might not be a big GMV contributor, but from a margin perspective, our revenue side of the story should grow at 100%. So we should be in a better place there. Just give us some more time to give you the exact percentage breakup of the various lines of business.
Okay, and private label and also the ad monetization, how much of EBITDA
is contributed by FY27? Yeah. Ad monetization is much more clearer. We are targeting to do around 12 crores in ad monetization for this financial year. It's getting through very nice traction. In the coming year, we will expect to double it.
Private label, the glucometers and the nutrition, how much will these contribute to EBITDA in FY27?
We have not broken it out to that level. We look at it at the revenue level. Today, we are in the range of around 4%, which is private label brands. Our target is to take it to around 8% in the coming financial year and maybe around 10 to 12 in the coming year by end of FY27.
Sorry, this is the percent of the new core revenue or?
Yes. Of the new core revenue. The offline is already doing very well. They are at 17.5. We are the guys who are pulling down the averages. So once the digital line of the business starts moving up, the numbers should look much better.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shalin Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Hi, everyone. I got dropped off, so I'm not sure if you've already answered this question. Is my understanding correct that once you acquire front end, that's one benefit you'll get the margin from that, And also your reporting will change, right? So like we'll move to Ind AS. So ideally your margin for the physical pharmacy should can easily move up by 200 to 250 basis points by that acquisition.
Sanjeev?
Sorry,
Sanjeev, continue.
So it is a little early to give a response onto that point, but as we said, Apollo Pharmacy Limited front end makes they are EBITDA positive for FY25, and they would continue to add on to that EBITDA year on year, but pre-Ind AS and post-Ind AS numbers will come back to you at the appropriate time. So we have to wait for at least 12 to 18 months from now.
Yeah, but we have pre-Ind AS and post-Ind AS numbers, right, sir? So like the what you get post-Ind AS when the final business was with us, or even when we have diverged, so right, gap between that. So that will come back to us, and that the economic benefit which you are leaving on the table, that will also come back to us. So those two will come back.
Absolutely.
Right. So yeah, that's the point for myself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have a follow-up question from the line of Kunal Dhamesha from Macquarie. Please go ahead. Kunal, if you can please unmute your line and ask your question.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity again. One clarification on what happens to the 400 crore which was owed from AHL to AHL. I think at the time of transaction of the 1290 crore, 890 crore was paid. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, Everything is paid.
So all the 1290 is paid now, post the advent.
Yeah, we had invested 400 crores in a rights issue, if you remember. Otherwise, everything is paid.
Okay. And, second one, on the front-end pharmacy, the 300 crore which is expected to go out, could you remind how much the other investors had invested in 2018 for getting that 74.5% stake?
They have invested about 108 crores because equity capital being about 143 crores, which is there as a disclosure in the system.
Sure. And then, we used to say that, that as Apollo, we used to capture higher margin on our distribution, because we were the supplier to the front end, etc. So once we bring that, the Apollo pharmacies into the umbrella, that advantage basically goes away? Is that the way to understand? Because it would be then...
That all get integrated into one entity because the entire pharmacy vertical is going to be in AHL with a content being 100% subsidiary of AHL post IOCC status. So the entire economic benefit will get integrated into one entity at a consolidation level.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Alankar Garud from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question from my side. Is the 7% EBITDA margin guidance for NewCo pre or post Ind AS 116?
Pre-Ind AS.
What we have given is post Ind AS.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason I asked because you mentioned post Ind AS in the presentation. But I thought the guidance for AHL at least was on pre-Ind AS 116 earlier.
Earlier you are saying, when it's earlier meaning you are saying when it was done a year back, is that what you say?
Yeah. So if I look at our guidance then for Apollo HealthCo, that 7-8% guidance was for pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin. Even if I look at FY25 financial, the presentation which you had put out for Q4, if you look at the margins for HealthCo then were about 3.2% on a pre-Ind AS basis. So just trying to reconcile the 3.5% for NewCo versus
okay, 3.2%. Pre or post Ind AS, let me confirm to you that the pre and post Ind AS doesn't matter in the Apollo HealthCo scheme of things. Your question is appropriate and we'll come back to you because see, if you look at Apollo HealthCo, when we are given pre-Ind AS or when we are giving post-Ind AS, now at the HealthCo level, with Keymed coming in, the difference between there's no material difference between a pre or a post at all. So your point is well taken that we have probably given pre-Ind AS at that of 7 to 8. Now we're giving is post-Ind AS. But when APL comes in, there will be a rental which is there. But what the team has already confirmed to you is after the rental is what we have it as a break even. So for the absolute EBITDA perspective, you would still not have any material difference. But we will come back to you on that. We'll confirm that to you offline one more time. As of now, I don't see any change in the way that you should look at this company 7% on a 25,000 crore number.
Sure, sir. Thanks. We'll connect offline. Thanks.
Percentages could change, but the absolute EBITDA will not have a problem.
Got it, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of Siddharth Negandhi from CWC. Please go ahead.
Sorry, my question was answered and therefore I had pressed star one again to get out of the queue, but didn't happen, I guess. Sorry about that.
Fine. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking time this afternoon. I would like to conclude by saying that this is a very significant step in Apollo's journey that enables us to grow the entire omni-channel healthcare ecosystem from primary care, preventive, diagnostics, tertiary care, as well as pharmacies, while leveraging our physical assets and infrastructure, as well as most importantly, our clinical talent and intellectual property. The scheme unlocks value for all stakeholders, ensures compliance with the regulatory framework, and enables us to leverage the synergies between all of the entities. Of course, we're open for questions. You can email us if there are any further questions, but thank you again.
Thank you. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Enterprise Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.